Hello, my name is Gudrun Theter, and I'm professor at the mathematical department, and we will have the lecture Mathematical Modeling and Simulation during this term. I was thinking to present my professional experience at the beginning of this lecture, then to give you an overview what is my idea, what together we want to learn during this term on kind of a meta level, and then to say how I want to do that. And after that, I will give an overview what I consider to be the main ingredients of mathematical modeling. And then I think the time for a first lecture is already full to the brim. So maybe instead of making a lot of introductory words, I should just start. I was studying mathematics in Dresden, and I specialized on numerics there. And so by doing my final thesis, I was already working for a semiconductor office where they wanted to simulate the introduction of ions into silicium. And this was kind of an interesting experience for me, how mathematics really enters the world outside the university. And I really liked my work there because it was an interdisciplinary group of people who had studied physics, engineering, colleagues of different specialties, and everybody's knowledge was necessary to finally achieve what we wanted to achieve, namely to see on the computer how the end product will look like instead of doing a lot of experiments in the laboratorium. So after coming down of the wall between East and West Germany, the situation on the semiconductor market changed. And so a lot of people were made redundant, me including. And after that, I took the chance to go back to university and go through several places like the University of Paderborn, University of Bonn, University in Hanover, Dortmund, and Heidelberg, doing a lot of research on partial differential equations, which are, so to say, the models which we are used to use in mathematics to understand physics and the world around us. Doing my PhD in fluid mechanics, then making my habilitation also on application of fluid mechanics, and now I'm teaching here in Karlsruhe. The thing is that, of course, mathematics is present in the education of engineers at the very beginning of their studies, but while being at the technical university and working on very applied things, we got the feeling in our group that a lot of the engineers would like to have a lot more mathematical education later in their studies. So, for example, while doing their final thesis or while working on a PhD, very often they are faced with problems for which they are not prepared by the usual education in so-called higher mathematics, which we provide at the beginning of the term. And also during my time at the different universities, I had had experiences with teaching engineers of very different types. So, for example, persons working in geodesics or farmers even, then mechanical engineers and chemical engineers and so on. And there is always kind of a question why they have to learn a lot of the mathematics which we teach. And on the other hand, while teaching mathematics students, very often they enter a field, they get the basic results, and then we build on these basic results more and more complicated results. But the different fields of mathematical research are never really connected. So, of course, there are kind of isolated points where we need something which was developed in a different field, which we can use then in a field in which we want to get new results. But the standard procedure is that all of the topics kind of stand for themselves and are not connected. And then when people leave university and work either as engineers or mathematicians, what they really need is that they are able to solve problems. And these are really kind of very, very different types of problems, so a great variety. And we saw that there is never a place during your studies where this is made the topic of the lecture. And so we were under the impression that it would be a good idea to have a lecture which is just on mathematical modeling and on problem solving. And so this lecture is a change of view compared to other lectures, because usually in your lectures you go from basics to more and more generalized things, or if you want to change the picture, you dig deeper and deeper into the theory of a certain topic. What we will do here is a more horizontal approach compared to the vertical approach, which I was presenting as the typical one, because my aim is to visit many different areas with you and not to dig deep everywhere. I would like to show a lot of different places, and of course in these different places we can always just have a look at the surface. So just see what kind of typical problems arise, why are they difficult, what kind of answers can we give with certain tools. And we will have to use stochastics for that, numerics, algorithms from calculus as well, so like derivatives and integrals as tools, and also tools which are more on the side of discrete mathematics, like machine learning and things like that. And I think this is more like what you will see if you go and work even as a student to earn a little bit of money on the side, or later on when you finished your studies. This sounds a bit superficial, and being the persons you are and being the person I am, this is not really the thing which makes us so happy to stay superficial all the time. For that, I have three more aspects which we will have in the lecture. So on the one hand, we have this visiting of different places where we only stay for a short time, but then we will have one guest from industry who will present what they are really doing, so really showing final results of everyday problems which they solve with the help of mathematics to get an idea how this is done. Then, at the end of the term, we will have an excursion to a point where we can see problems and how they are solved in real life. So these are two things which are not that superficial, I think. And the third thing is you will have to do something which I call projects. And for that, I ask you to form groups of two or three persons, to choose a topic in which you are really interested, then to make a modeling question for yourself, answer that question, and for the end of the term, we will have either your oral presentation on your results, or you can hand in a written report. And it will be up to you to choose how you want to present the results of your project. And I think with this project, you can dig deep at one point instead of staying that superficial as I do in the lecture. About the projects, we will speak later on, and you can ask me all kinds of questions. I just wanted to tell you what the lecture is about. So we will have all these parts, my lectures, which will visit a new project almost each week. Then we will have an invited lecture, the excursion in the end, and you will have to work on a project during the term until the end. And in order to get your points, you will have to pass an oral exam where I will have two possibilities at the end of the term, or with a certain 1-2 weeks after the term finishes, and then before the new term will start. Also, but while speaking to you through this medium, it's kind of natural to tell you that there is a lot of material you can listen to which relates to topic of our lecture course, which is the podcast Modellansatz. Most of the things which you will find are in German, but even for the only English-speaking persons, there are like 8 to 10 conversations which I had with international guests, and for that are in English. And so you can listen to these conversations and get an idea what's done in research and in applications with the help of mathematical modeling. And I think this is really a good opportunity to do much more than we can do during the course of the lecture. So, what is mathematical modeling? The thing is that while the computers entered our planet, so to say, at first they were kind of reserved for very big calculations which not really touched the life of people, or just not very direct. But nowadays, computer simulations are kind of a very, very important part to understand things which are happening around. So we, on the one hand, we try to understand events which happened already, to understand them afterwards. But what we do even more is we want to make so-called virtual experiments in order to design processes or design tools without doing so much laboratory experiments. The advantage of doing computer simulations is, of course, that we can cover large scales as well as very small scales, which might be very difficult to handle in the laboratory. If we have the computers available, the costs are really minimal. It's just that we need a certain program, and if the program is very effective, it just takes a few seconds to solve very, very difficult problems. And the third advantage, which is also kind of a very important one, is that usually it's really safe for people to use computer experiments compared to experiments, for example, in nuclear plants, or with crash tests for automobiles, where you would hurt people in order to get results. And you don't need to hurt people, you can just simulate it in the computer. This is kind of a thing which is related to your work as engineers or your work as a mathematician later on. So you will have to use computers, or you will work together with people who are using computers. But what I think what's coming more and more to the forefront is that the decisions which have to be taken on the basis of such simulations very often have to be done by persons who are not engineers themselves. Nevertheless, they will use your simulations to make good decisions. And so you will have two new tasks to handle as engineers. The first new task is that you will have to make your results very clear to persons who have no idea how the simulations are done. So they have no idea about the validity and the range of your predictions. So you will have to make very clear what are the boundary conditions, for example, or if small things are changed, does this have a big influence on the results? Because it can be really dangerous to pose a decision on a simulation which is not really well understood. And I think this will be done more and more in the future, and this is a high responsibility for everybody working in this field. And I think we are not really prepared for that, and nobody is this giving a lot of thought. What is a typical simulation pipeline? I will call that, because it's kind of you enter with a problem into a process, and in the end you want to go out of the process with a solution. So what we are doing is, of course, we have to find out from the problem what is really the main, to say, the core question, which we call modeling, and is kind of the task to simplify what we have in the observations to the real question we want to solve. in the end, our model very often will take the shape of a system of equations, for example, with certain conditions on the side. And this system of equation has to be discretized in order to make calculations. So in this, we have already two steps which are necessary and are not completely divided from one another. So for example, I could choose one model over another because I know that's more easy to discretize in order to make my calculations effective. So choosing what kind of calculations I'm doing can influence what kind of model I will choose. In order to do good calculations, of course, it's always necessary to have the right software. So we will have to work on an implementation, or we will have to choose software which we will just adapt to the new task. And this implementation, of course, is strongly connected to all possible calculations in our problem. Then, in the end of this process, like getting equations, discretizing them, implement them in the software, running our software, we will have a lot of numbers in the computer, and these numbers are the result or are the answer to our question. But we are not really made to understand just numbers, so we will have to find a good tool to visualize our results. And of course, this is more easy to visualize for the person working with the software, because in a way, they, by spending a lot of time with these calculations, they already know what they are seeing, sometimes even in the numbers, but in the graphs and graphical representations. But if they want to talk about these results with persons who are not engineers, of course, the visualizations have to be much more intricate. And what's really funny in my career is that when I arrived in Karlsruhe here, the situation with computers and simulations came precisely to the point where we started to use 3D visualizations, especially with fluid dynamics. This is something which is really intriguing and promises to be really the best possibility to show what kind of flow there is happening. But this is not just a technical question how to do that. This is also kind of an artistic question, or a question to understand how people really see things, so how they understand things. And this question of visualization then brought us together in the same pool with people doing cinema films in 3D, which have to tackle technical difficulties which they are not really prepared for, but they know how to tell a story, which we don't really know so well because we are not educated to do that. And while knowing in advance that my profession as a mathematician is a profession in which I'm doing a lot of really different things which people don't really connect with being a mathematician, I was never under the impression that I could be someone who's working together with artists, which is very natural after you try to visualize things in 3D. Then, of course, there is a last part, which is also very, very important. This is to find out if I can trust my results. So how to find the right procedures to really prove the reliability of my results and to find if they are really valid. And this could even go back to the modeling at the very beginning, because I will have to find possibilities. So, for example, of course, in an ideal world, I would be able to compare my results from the computer to observations in the laboratory. But very often this is not the case that I can really do that. And so you will have to find ways to prove that your results are correct. In the modeling stage, there are several possibilities until you come to the equations. So, for example, we will start our modeling very often in words, trying to speak about that as clear as possible, going over to a more semi-formal things, like different scientists from different parts speaking to each other, because they prefer not to use the jargon, because the jargon would prevent scientists from other fields to understand them, so it will be more semi-formal. But of course, before entering anything in the computer, it has to be something which I would describe as mathematical model, so like an algorithm, which a computer can really understand and calculate on. So, unfortunately, there is absolutely no recipe how to do that, other than it's really important that you are very, very clear in wording, that you are sure what kind of development you want to study in space and time. Then it's, of course, a question if you want to get a general idea, so more like a qualitative answer to your question, or if it has to be a quantitative, so where the numbers are really the right numbers, and you have to find out the relevant quantities in your problem for which you really need the numbers. And of course, you have to decide on which scientific results you want to base your modeling. So very, very often we are just using physical laws like mass conservation or the conservation of momentum and things like that. But depending on the question, of course, it's not always possible to just use physical basic laws. Of course, coming from fluid dynamics, very often we are saved by the physicists who give us ideas how to implement certain things which we observe. But we will also see things like population dynamics, and also in the modeling of traffic, it's not clear at all what kind of general laws we should kind of invent or observe in order to have a good model. Then on the mathematical side, it's not really a stop sign when we have a system of equation, because by mathematical analyzing the system of equation, we also prove if this is a good model or not, because we will have to have a look on the solutions of our problem, and then the answer could be, is there any solution to our system, or is it really necessary that we have a unique solution? And if we have many solutions, what does this mean? Or sometimes we just need one particular solution, so for example, an optimal solution, which even gives us something on top of our system of equation to study. And so this, the mathematical study of, for example, partial differential equations, which is more interested in solvability and uniqueness, or in the existence of extreme points and stability of solution, in the long-time behavior of solution, so what's happening when time goes to infinity, or the question if the outcome of a problem is really continuously dependent on the data which we implement at the very beginning. This is really an important task to say if the model, which is a system of equation, is a well-posed problem, which is kind of made in, has a good shape in order to be used as a model in the computer, or if it is a so-called ill-posed problem, which is not so well-shaped, but cannot always be avoided. Some problems are just ill-posed, and you will have to live with that and find your way how to solve them. Also, we will have to choose in our models if we want to have a continuous description, like for example with partial differential equations, or if we from the very beginning start to work with a discrete idea about the things, so just step by step seeing things develop. Then we can choose between deterministic modeling or models which include random things, so like stochastic modeling. Then it can happen that we have to include in our model several scales, and we call this multi-scale problems. And in a way, this is the typical situation, but since it's really hard to model, we will always try to avoid that and choose kind of a situation where we just are sure that there is just one scale or maybe two scales working together. And this can lead to a kind of hierarchy of models, which are good for different situations in which they should be applied. Concerning the validity of problems, of course, validity could mean different things, which have in common that they say that what we do on the computer has some connection to the problem we want to solve. So in the ideal world, this would mean that our model is very much in agreement with reality. But of course, this is kind of hard to put into a quantitative, so something which we can really calculate. So very often we try to prove as mathematicians that, for example, our numerical solution from a numerical scheme is very much in agreement with our analytical solution. Or this could mean that when we are choosing the step size small enough that we can control the error between numerical and analytical solution. This is kind of a core task in numerical mathematics to prove convergence and error analysis. Of course, it's also nice if we can compare the results of our model to experiments, but very often this will only be possible with certain experiments, and then we will have to extrapolate from that, so proving that our model works for certain experiments, doing the same model for things which cannot be proved experimentally in the laboratorium. Sometimes all these things kind of break down, and then we are back to proving, in parentheses, that our model is at least plausible. So certain things which we observe in real life are inherent to our model. Or we can prove that the results of our model coincide with results of other models, so which are different but try to model the same situation. And a thing which is still very difficult, but which gets more and more important, is to at least prove that the software is doing what we think the software is doing, so that we have standard procedures to validate the software systems. And of course, very, very different questions will ask for different ways to validate our results to be really useful for everyday life. So what kind of modeling problems will I want to present to you during this term? I will start with game theory, because I will find this interesting. It's kind of easy to present, and even with this easy problem, you will see that finding results is not that easy. We will go back to oscillation as a kind of standard procedure for applying ordinary differential equation of first order in a system. And for me, I'm trusting that you've seen that before, and we can build on your general understanding just going over to a different point of view as a model. Then I will use ordinary differential equations in order to model populations, as first one and then several populations. And then we will spend a certain amount of time with the simulation of traffic. And here I will spend more than one lecture, because we will use more than one tool to understand what's happening in traffic on our roads and also for pedestrians and bicycles. Then I want to do a little bit of stochastic modeling, and I've chosen so-called Wiener processes, because I think this is kind of an interesting topic which most of you won't have seen before, but it's easy enough to do in one or one and a half lecture. Then I want to do something about chaotic behavior in order to do the standard thing which never happens in the lecture, that things are not predictable. And then I want to go over to things which are more in the structure of classical mathematical modeling, where we use partial differential equations to understand physical processes. And I will start that with heat conduction and will finish the term with fluids and flow. And I think after that we have a better picture of what kind of models exist, what can they do, what are questions which can't be answered by models, and what are kind of the responsibilities of engineers and mathematicians working with models, finding new models, and then presenting the results to the persons living with us who want to have a better life after we provided models to understand our world better and make it a better place. So I'm looking forward to spend the term with you, and I hope this first lecture just made you more interested in staying with our lecture course. See you next week.